Well, thank you for being here again this evening as we once again have the privilege and the opportunity to gather together as God's people and to be able to look at some things, hopefully from God's Word, that will help benefit us in our lives and strengthen perhaps our Christianity and our faith. But we just look to God's Word for guidance in all things so that as we live our lives, we can live our lives in a way that will be pleasing to God. That's our goal in life, and I hope that that'll be always our goal as we look to Scriptures for guidance. I want to invite you to open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We noticed a very familiar story this morning when we talked about the story from Luke chapter 2 where Jesus had been found in the temple after 3 days of his parents searching when he went to Jerusalem at the age of 12. And you're very familiar with that passage, and you're going to be very familiar with the passage of Scripture that we're going to deal with this evening also from John chapter 8. Beginning in verse 2, it says, "Early in the morning he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law of Moses it commands us to stone such women. So what do you say?' This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and he said to them, 'Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her.' And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.'" Well, that's the passage of Scripture that we look at. And whenever we think about this story and we go back and we read from the pages here of the Gospel of John, we find here that Jesus is found teaching in the temple. You know, we talked about this morning when Jesus went to Jerusalem at the age of 12 and he was separated from his parents and they were looking for him for 3 days. They found him where? They found him in the temple. They found him in his father's house and he was talking to the men there and he was asking questions and they were amazed at the wisdom that he had there. And so now, here again, Jesus returns to the temple. And his purpose in being at the temple on this occasion was not to ask the questions, but to offer guidance and teaching. That's what he was there for. He came to the temple so that he might sit and teach the people there. Now, when you think about this, you know, the Scriptures don't really record what Jesus taught. You know, there are occasions in the Scripture where we find that Jesus went someplace, he sat down and he began to teach the people, and the lesson that he actually taught is recorded. We think about that in the Sermon on the Mount. We're told that Jesus went there on that mountain, he sat there on that mountain and he began to teach the people, saying. There are several occasions in the Scriptures where Jesus did this. We are given the information that he gave the people that were listening. And what a blessing that is. The blessing of those people being there to sit in the presence of Jesus and to hear his wisdom and his teaching, and then the blessing of us to see what it was Jesus said to those individuals so that we might be able to live by it as well. But on this occasion, that's not what happens. We're not given the message that Jesus delivered while he was sitting there teaching. And whatever he was teaching took a back seat to the lesson the Apostle John wanted us to get from this occasion. And there was another lesson. All right, it's important that Jesus is teaching, but here's the real lessons for you to learn from this story. And I think that's important for us to remember and hopefully we'll get. What were the many lessons or the many things that we can learn from our text? And there are quite a few of these lessons. And I just want to go through a list of things with you and take a moment for us to just focus on those and think about them and hopefully grow from these experiences, or at least from this occasion and what we can learn from it, and then the lesson will be yours this evening. To begin with, here's some lessons to consider from this story. Number one, be careful about the sin of hypocrisy. be careful about the sin of hypocrisy. Now, when you think about the sin of hypocrisy here, we obviously are drawn to the scribes and the Pharisees because it was on occasion that Jesus even called them hypocrites. So that was a term synonymous with scribes and Pharisees because they acted with hypocrisy in their life. Well, what was the hypocrisy that they were acting with on this particular occasion? Well, here it is. They brought this woman into him who had been caught in the very act of adultery. That's what some of the passages of Scripture say. But they weren't concerned about justice, really. Because the Scriptures record that they brought this woman here to test Jesus. Their motives were not pure in what they were doing on that occasion. They were acting with hypocrisy. Now, we can see some other acts of hypocrisy here in the story as well, but the one main one regarding the scribes and the Pharisees is this. They were just there to try to see if they could test Jesus and tempt Him so they might have some accusation against Him. They had no concern about justice. They really weren't concerned about the woman being stoned, although they probably were wanting that to happen in the back of their mind, maybe. They weren't concerned about the man who must have also been involved in this act because they caught her but didn't bring him before them. And so they weren't really concerned about him being stoned, which is what should have happened as well. They weren't concerned about justice. They were concerned about trying to trap Jesus so they might have some accusation against him. That's how they were acting with hypocrisy. Well, that's a lesson for us, too. You know, I think that when we are living as Christians, we have to think about our motivation for what we do. Are our motives pure and whole and right? Or do we act with hypocrisy sometimes in our lives? You know, there's an ulterior motive to what it is that we're trying to do. And so our motives are not pure. And we got to think about that sometimes in our lives. So that's one of the lessons that we need to consider from this story. Be careful about the sin of hypocrisy. Make sure that your motives are pure in everything that you do. We see where Jesus talks to us about having a pure heart. Blessed are those that have a pure heart, are pure in heart. That's what we've got to have, pure heart, pure motives, when we are dealing with people in the world. You know, these folks here, they were trying to test Jesus, but they really weren't interested in I think the people learning a lesson necessarily. They weren't interested, obviously, in the justice there, and they cared nothing about the woman at all. I mean, to bring her there, to bring her before the crowd for embarrassment's sake and for all of the... We just need to have better motives in our lives as Christians. Number two, what about this? Be careful about the sin of partiality. The sin of partiality. Obviously, these men were showing some type of partiality, weren't they? Because they brought the woman, but left whoever it was she was committing adultery with out of the scenario altogether. So, we think that this woman ought to be embarrassed. We think this person ought to be brought before you, Jesus. We think all of her sins should be outed here, but we're not going to say anything about this. I don't know who it was. Maybe it was somebody that they considered important in their society. Maybe it was some upstanding citizen for the most part, except this guy had made a big mistake here. And you know what? We don't want to soil his name. We don't want to ruin his reputation. So, let's ruin her reputation, but we're going to let him go. They acted with hypocrisy and with partiality. Now, do we ever do that? Are we ever guilty of that as well? Do we ever treat somebody differently for a sin when someone else may be committing a sin that we like a little bit better, but they're guilty of the same thing? Are we ever a little bit easier when it comes to this individual? A little bit tougher when it comes to this individual? We act with hypocrisy and we show partiality. What does James say about that? That ought not be so, folks. In fact, James says that's just sin to behave with partiality. And he likens it to when we sometimes have these earthly standards and we look at individuals and we say, well, you know what? This person has wealth and riches and does lots of great things. Here, take this important seat here. And, oh, well, this other person who may not be as well-known in the community, may not have the same type of wealth or advantages in a physical way. No, you sit there in the very back we show partiality. He talks about that. I suppose that's a sin. We don't treat those people differently there. Don't do that. But here we see a sin, a partiality. These men brought the woman in, didn't bring the man. Well, what about this? What about being careful about the sin of self-righteousness? Self-righteousness. You know, that was the problem with the scribes and the Pharisees. We see that in the story of the Pharisee and the sinner, the publican, who came to pray to there. And we find that Pharisee prays, "I thank you that I'm not like this publican." And he begins to tell God about all the great things that he has done for God. And the publican just beats upon his breast and said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus asked the question, "Which man went to his house justified?" Well, the publican did. It's self-righteous. And here are all of these sinful men who certainly don't want all of their sins exposed to the world. And folks, we all have things that we're not happy about in our life that we wish we did a little bit better, or maybe sometimes when we think about it and we pray to God, we just beg for forgiveness because we know, "Father, I have a weakness in this area and I'm working on it and I want to do better," but it's not like we want everybody to know everything out of our closet. We don't want to air all of our dirty laundry, and we don't want to air everybody else's dirty laundry. And here are these men airing this woman's dirty laundry, and they are out there to tell all of her business and all of the wickedness, and they are men who have sins just as much as she does. "We're going to point your sin out. We're not going to say anything about ours." And so we've got to be careful about the sin of self-righteousness, as though we are in some way better than someone else, and we are more deserving of being blessed by God because we're such wonderful people. When in reality, all of us have our strengths and our weaknesses that we must overcome and deal with. And so be careful about the sin of self-righteousness. What about this? What about be careful about the sin of judging? I think that's the real thing that a lot of people grab hold of when they look at this story, especially in a spiritual sense and with people of the world, is judging folks for the mistakes that they have made. We need to be careful about judging. And that is true, folks. But we got to be careful that we judge righteous judgment. If something's wrong, folks, it's wrong. We can judge that something is right or wrong because God has given us an index of things that are right and wrong that we can follow. We can look at it and say, "You know what, that's right, that's wrong." And if we come in contact with somebody and we know that there's something going on, we who are spiritual are to restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, according to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law. We are supposed to help each other, and so there are times when we're going to have to make a judgment call. But it's one thing to say something is wrong, and it's something else to judge in a mean-spirited way, without compassion, without gentleness, and to act in a manner similar to these scribes and Pharisees when it comes to being judgmental. Was the woman guilty of sin? Absolutely. Was the sin wrong? No doubt. As brethren, was it appropriate to call it to attention? Absolutely. Again, we've talked about motives in this regard and the hypocrisy of those people who weren't really concerned about justice. To be quite honest with you, they didn't hang around. When Jesus calls them on the carpet and he begins to write there in the sand and they continue to ask him questions, he stands and says, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone. You stand here in judgment of this woman, and yet you yourselves are guilty of so many sins. You have sin in your life, and yet you want to judge her because of her sin. So you be careful about that." What about this? You know, we are very good about seeing the mote that is in our brother's eye and missing the big beam that's in ours. So let's be careful about judging. And then, obviously, be careful about the sin of adultery. That's wrong, folks. When we look at this story, let's never forget that fact. Don't forget the fact that this is wrong. And it is a sin, and it is not something that Jesus is condoning. It's not something that Jesus is letting go. It's wrong. There's all these different types of sins that we can find found in this passage of Scripture that we've got to be careful about. So let's be careful about these things. And let's recognize that that too is wrong. The woman was wrong. Let's don't ever forget that. The fact that we felt like she was mistreated in some way when she was brought before Jesus because of the wrong motives of those that brought her there, regardless of the fact that there was somebody else that was involved that was not brought there, and we see the injustice in that as well, we see how she was mistreated here and how she was embarrassed, I'm certain, in front of all of the people that were there. But don't ever lose sight of the fact that she was sinful. And what she was doing was wrong. So we can never forget that. And so be careful about the sins that are mentioned here. So these are some of the lessons to consider from this story. But really, that's kind of the introduction to my lesson. I got your attention now, didn't I? That's really the introduction. Lessons to consider from the story. Here's the real purpose of what I want to talk about tonight. Other lessons to consider. The other lessons to consider. Number one, what the woman went away with. What did the woman there in John chapter 8 go away with? Well, the first thing is this. She went away with forgiveness. Isn't that beautiful? Because here's the point. As terrible a sin as that was, that these men drug her before Jesus and before the crowd of people that had been gathered there so that he could instruct and teach them. Despite all, she walked away from there forgiven. Now that should send a message to all of us here. That Jesus does not want us to be condemned. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be what? Might be saved. Jesus never wants to see any one of us condemned. He wants to offer forgiveness to us. And He offers forgiveness to this woman on this occasion here. That's something she went away with. She walked in there, a sinful woman, an adulteress, marked by society as someone you would not want to be associated with, embarrassed in public. But she left the temple cleansed and clean and forgiven. Now, isn't that something that's beautiful to think about that? Well, why was it that she was able to go away from there and forgive? I mean, really, shouldn't there have been something that happened to her, right? I mean, I think there were some consequences that had happened to her that day. She went away forgiven, but here's why I think she went away forgiven. Submission. Submission to Jesus. Have you ever noticed? They came in there and they brought this woman. And they said to Him, "Teacher." That's how the scribes and the Pharisees referred to Him. They said, "Teacher." They obviously understood and recognized He is here teaching these people something. So we'll give You credit for being a teacher. And then we see what transpires in the story, and we see how that Jesus says to those individuals who have brought her there, "You who are without sin, throw the first stone at her." And then he bent over and wrote on the ground again, and they went away one by one, beginning with the old ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. So we've got Jesus and the woman. I don't know what happened to everybody else. When the story begins, Jesus is sitting in the temple, and what's he doing? He's teaching a group of people. The scribes and the Pharisees interrupt this lesson and bring this woman in. But at the end of the story, really it says Jesus was left alone with a woman. We got Jesus, got the woman. And notice what she says. He said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And notice what she says in verse 11. "No one, Lord." She called him Lord. They showed up that day. They acknowledged him as a teacher. But the scribes and the Pharisees were not ready to acknowledge what she was ready to acknowledge at the end of the story. And that is, you know what? Now you are my Lord. He's somebody she can get behind. Why? Because she's not like those scribes and those Pharisees who would humiliate her and who would not care about her and who would want to condemn her and be hateful to her. Here is a man who would love her, who would forgive her, and who would be kind to her. Now you tell me, who do you want to follow? Do you want to follow that group of men and the way that they behaved, the scribes and the Pharisees? Or do you want to follow Jesus? You know what? That's somebody I can get behind. That's somebody I can call Lord. And that's what she did. You know, it reminds me of the passage of Scripture in John, a few pages over. John chapter 20. You remember after Jesus' resurrection, beginning in verse 24, it says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe.' 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe.' And then Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Yes, here is a person I can get behind. And that's the lesson that I think that we can learn from this woman here. As she went away, regardless of what sin it was that she had committed, Jesus was willing to forgive. And not only was he willing to forgive because of his forgiveness and his love and his compassion and his kindness and his not humiliating her like those other men did and treating her the way that they did, she said, "Lord, you're somebody I can submit to. You're somebody I can serve." That's what she went away with. Then, what is this? What Jesus left us with in this passage. Here, at the conclusion, he gives us this directive, and he gives her this directive as well. Go and sin no more. Please, don't ever forget that. Go and sin no more. Some translations say, go and from now on, sin no more. Don't do any more of those things. Don't behave that way any longer. I'm not going to condemn you. You're forgiven. Now you go out and you live a life that shows that you truly do believe that I am the Lord. Now how many of us live that way? How many of us live our lives so that we demonstrate with it each and every day that Jesus Christ is our Lord? That's what she was really told to do. You go out, and with the rest of your life, you demonstrate what you've just said, that I'm the Lord. Now, the question for us is He the Lord of our life also? Go and sin no more. But you know what? It seems to me like there is this misconception that some people try to live by. Go and sin some more. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, go and sin some more. He said, go and sin no more. Some people have this idea that, well, it doesn't matter. As long as you try to be, you can do whatever you want to. You live however you want to live. You don't have to necessarily recognize anything about the Scriptures, or you don't have to really adhere to those things closely. And don't worry about whatever sin is. God's grace is going to cover you, and you don't have to worry about it. Well, I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm glad that it's extended to me. But it's not something to abuse. Even Paul is going to discuss that in Romans chapter 6. We're not here to abuse the grace of God. To act like, well, you know, He's going to extend His grace. He loves me. He cares about me. So I don't really have to worry about everything that I'm... No. I think some people live with the attitude, you know, go sin some more. It's no big deal. It's all right. But that's not what Jesus said. You go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. And here, Paul is trying to help them understand the idea of grace. And this is where he begins to talk about this is not something to be abused. He says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid that we take that attitude or that we think like that. No. I've got to live my life in a way that pleases God, and I'm striving to do what He wants me to do, and I want to stay as far away from wickedness and sin and evil as I can possibly get. So I'm not here to go and sin no more and just, hey, God's going to take care of me. I'm here to learn from His Word and make adjustments in my life as necessary and go do the best that I can to sin no more. That's how I can live a life that's pleasing to God and demonstrates that He is my Lord. So what are the lessons? Forgiveness, submission, go and sin no more. So many things for us to learn here tonight. You know, the thing that we go back to, though, is this. Whatever sin it is that's plaguing you in your life, whatever it is that you may be guilty of, Jesus is ready to offer you forgiveness. He offered it to the woman there, caught in the very act of adultery, and He will offer it to you if you're ready to give your heart to Him and do what's right. He will offer forgiveness to you. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past, what sin you've committed. He'll forgive you. And the statement that applied to her will apply. Go, sin no more. But you can walk out of here whole. We have been ransomed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It was offered to us to forgive us of our sins. And that blood is strong enough to cleanse away any sin. And so tonight, if you're not a Christian and you want to become a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one by coming forward, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and being baptized to wash away those sins. And if it's the case that you have been involved in some sin in your life that has taken you away from God and you want forgiveness, He's ready to do that. While together we stand and sing invitation.